All parts of you work independently without needing to assist it. The breath, the heartbeat, and things externally, sound, light. What part of you strives so much to control that which is happening in you and around you? When being is natural, and we can engage from being, because we still engage in the world, we engage with people, our family, we engage at work. But what part of you is engaging? What part of you have you habitually let be in control? Because it is possible to be in this place of being, where things are happening, without any effort, we engage in the world. This is perhaps an ideal for most of us. But the practice right now is simply being. So how do we engage this part of us in the world more often? Instead of the habituated part that seeks control over others, circumstances, the environment, where we ask life to do what we want rather than surrender to what life is offering. This does not mean we remain passive, but we engage from a place of being. We identify with our awareness, walking, talking, speaking, acting in the world, more often than we act out of our habituated self that has come from the past and pushes us toward the future. So as we begin our talk on turning mountains into mounds, you can stretch your legs and change your position if you like. This might be the only topic I ever want to talk about again. And I'll do it in many different ways. All of us are coming from a perceived past, moving into a perceived future. And at no time is other than now, all of that is fiction and all of that is fantasy. Where you have come from has happened, and it is stored in our body, in our cells, in the brain. Yet that is the formula we use to create our future. So for those of us who are yearning to make the future different, but are allowing the past conditionings to dictate our future, there is no different future than the past. We are going to repeat what we have come through and project that into the future until we come out of the past and live in the present. I don't know if there's any other talk I can give but this. So our practice is, how do we become present? I mean, the Buddha taught numerous ways for us to be in the present. And most of the Dharma is actually bringing us from the past or from the future into the present. But you first have to understand, you first have to embody deeply that your future is only made by the conditions of the past unless you completely change yourself here in the present, and then your future is unlimited. And then you can go in any direction you want to go. So the past is dictating our behaviors because we're conditioned by memory to think that we're still facing the past. all of those traumas, all of those disruptions in relationship, all of those times we've been hurt are still with us here in the present moment. And those emotions and those neurochemicals are guiding our behaviors, which then shifts the future to look like the past. It sounds convoluted. I want to make it practical. It's like stepping in shit and walking forward thinking everything smells bad. That's for the kids. That's funny. But you get me? Like Ajahn Chah, our mentor really from the Thai lineage, said there's a monk he knew that kept going from temple to temple saying, "This temple sucks. This doesn't work. This is all the reason I'm going to leave this temple." And then he goes to another temple and practices and says, "This temple stinks. I don't like this one at all either." And then he comes back to his home temple years later and he starts complaining again. And Ajahn Chah says, "It's like someone who has manure in his travel bag. And so he just is not aware that every place he goes stinks because of what he's carrying with him." How many of you are carrying poop in your bags and on your feet? This is what we do. This is carrying the past forward into the future. So we have climbed mountains. A lot of us have been through some terrifying or very difficult circumstances. Those happened. We do not want to invalidate that for any of us. Those happened. The problem with this present moment is that we bring those struggles with us here and we form our idea of the future based on what we've been through. So if you've had trouble with people and people have hurt us and we engage people here, we think they're going to hurt us. So now we're creating a future of they are hurting us. And our bodies and mind react to this person in the present as if they're really the thing from the past. So how can you move forward creating a new relationship to people without letting go all of that which has just come behind you? But that doesn't mean you go from a mountain to flat land. If that trauma was a Mount Everest size mountain, how realistic is it that you're going to have flat land or a valley? It's more likely it turns into a mound. Can you deal with the fact that our practice doesn't lead us to perfection, but leads us to having a manageable life? Some of us might reach flat land where those mountains are no longer at all an obstacle or impediment. Some of us might find valleys and fertile ground. But for most of us, those mountains that we've crossed over, that we're projecting into the future, can we just bring those down a little bit? Can we bring them down to manageable levels? So instead of panic, we just have some worry. Instead of full-blown depression, we have some sadness. Instead of deep despair, we have manageable, maybe hopelessness at times, but that arises up to acceptance of what it is, what just is. So what we're doing is projecting our past into the future. These are mirages. The real mountain that we've encountered is now an image in front of us. And so our body reacts to some kind of trigger as if it's the same mountain. But our practice brings us down and we realize, wait, first of all, it's a mirage. And second of all, I can calm my body down and maybe it can just be a speed bump. Maybe it can be a mound or a hill instead of a big mountain, even though it's not even present. It's just our bodies reacting. So when we calm our bodies down, we tell it we're safe. We can see the mirage that we think is a mountain. And our body's still activated, but it's activated as only if it's like a mound. I can get over that. I can breathe through that. I can deal with that. Hopefully, in the future, we create a life where our body's relaxed enough to just go straight through the mirage and find fertile ground. I want you all to go home and be very aware of how you are projecting all of your past in front of you in the various ways we do it. Looking at our partners or our bosses, looking at our children, looking at people we work with as if they're the ones who hurt us the way we were hurt in the past. Because then we create a world in which we're frightened or hateful toward people. And we see that enough. That's what's happening. So instead of doing that, be very aware of when you're taking the past and putting it in front of you. And do something different. Relax yourself. Calm yourself. Tell yourself you're safe. If you're not safe, get out of the situation. But if you really are safe, if there's no immediate threat or danger, calm yourself. And tell yourself, I'm just projecting my past onto this circumstance. Breathe through the tension and discomfort. Notice the mirage of the mountain and bring it down to a manageable molehill. We can all do this. This is what I train you to do. This is what I've been trained to do. Does this make sense? Is this something you think you can become aware of as you move through your days? Yeah, we can. This is manageable. And this is not perfection. This is not what we're going for in this group. We're going for manageable. And out of manageable, you get a new sense of realistic. And out of a new sense of realistic, you actually can attain things you've never dreamed of. So let's just start where we are. Okay, so what are your thoughts about this? What are you reflecting on? How many of you are looking back and going, I did come through something, and yes, I do push it forward? Yeah, there's hands already up. Right. How many of you are tired of doing that because you're creating a world where the same shit just happens over and over again? It's Groundhog Day. That's really, go home and watch Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. It is actually a Buddhist movie. I mean, the directors and writer talked about their philosophy. Yes. So it is what we're doing over and over until he wakes up and sees how what he's doing is creating the reality around him. And then he wakes up enough to see, I need to do something different for reality to be different. That's exactly the purpose. Yeah. Yeah, watch it again. And with this talk in mind. Yeah. Yeah, it's actually brilliant. As is most of Bill Murray's movies. I'm having that on tape in case he hears this. And he wants to call. Mike, I hear you like my movies. That'd be awesome. One day Bill Murray will come in here. So what's your experience? What are you thinking about? How can you do what we're talking about? Yeah.
That was kind of the practice that I started to do from this past year, become aware that when you are in a situation that you normally, your body, mind, emotions react to it out of past, realize that when you have anxiety, you're anticipating something negative happening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or at least weigh them out, you know, 50-50. So that's something I've been reminding myself of, and choosing to remind myself that positive thing could happen just as well as the bad helps a lot. And then you can kind of.
How does it help a lot? How does it help you?
Just by rewiring, because if you only allow your mind to go towards something negative, it'll keep doing that. But if you rewire and train it to go towards something positive.
So what have you found?
That it helps.
Yeah. How does your body feel when you're doing that?
A lot. After it took some time.
Of course.
Yeah. After weeks and weeks, and eventually I start feeling a lot more relief.
Sure. Because there's a book I'm going to recommend to all of you. Sincerely, please read this book. It's called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And this is what we're talking about. You're feeling uncomfortable doing positive because your body's habituated to negative chemistry. We return, all of us who have been prone to negativity, there's certain chemicals that come with that. And we're like, even though ironically they're really uncomfortable, we're comfortable in being uncomfortable. That is our baseline. So when you start doing something positive, your body's like, I don't like this. It is not comfortable for me This is not baseline. And you're like, but this is actually better for me. I feel better. And the body's like, but I don't yet. And I'm boss. And you're like, well, actually, no, I'm boss. I'm going to do what's better for me. And you will habituate over time, just like I habituated you over time to the negative. It will take time to feel that positiveness happen. But the more you practice this, the more you go toward the positivity, go, you know what? It doesn't have to be like this. Your body will eventually start responding positively.
Sorry,
no, go ahead. It's for you.
Just a year ago, I started to practice these things consciously and actively. And at first, I didn't think they were going to make a difference. Mm. At first, they didn't. But comparing a year ago to right now, I feel like a completely different person in the areas of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like bodybuilding. You know, when you first start, you're not going to see a difference right away. But you keep going, and you will see a huge difference. And it's so worth it.
Yeah. So this is 20 years of bodybuilding. Sometimes it takes a really long time. But in that case, a year's pretty good, though. Yeah, it does make a difference. I mean, this is literally part of our practice is repetition for that exact reason, because you will come to a place where you're like, things are different. Honestly, how many of you in here since we've started and you've delved into your own practice have seen significant or subtle changes in your life? There's a good amount of you that are testifying to, yes, there is some difference. And I actually want subtle differences. The big ones can happen, but it's hard to maintain those big ones. But the little ones you can actually maintain constantly, and that becomes a new way of living, a new way of life. So anybody else, thoughts, reflections or questions on this process?
I've just been going through all these. I think I've been challenging myself, and in that act of challenging myself, it's cleared out a lot of crap.
How have you challenged yourself?
Going through a divorce, that was a big challenge, and then just taking on some things that I've wanted to do for a long time and actually doing them instead of pushing them away. And I'll do them next. Doing them now. Just in that whole process of taking on a challenge, an external challenge, not like my challenge is to remake myself, my challenge is to something very external, well, part of it.
So for you, was saying yes to the challenge?
Yeah. And just
why was that? There must be something hard for you of saying yes to the challenge, and the actual challenge is saying yes, then.
Wait, say that again.
For you, it sounds like saying yes was the challenge.
Yeah, and I think it's just, you know, we can endure so much.
Mm.
I don't know why, but we're conditioned to endure all sorts of things. Kind of like what you're saying, we endure ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were saying no for so long, you're enduring your own no.
Yeah,
how many of you are just enduring yourself? You're sticking with the habit that you know is not good for you. And you keep enduring it because maybe it'll change, but I'm not doing anything to change it. Saying yes to the change is like, okay, that's uncomfortable because I'm so used to not changing. Nothing will happen differently if you don't say yes to that change, to that challenge. Yeah. Yeah, you do. Are you saying something personal?
Well, no. I mean, I just know that if you're really comfortable, what do you do?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're warm and you're well fed and you're in your home and you're comfortable there, that's not a lie. I mean, that's an existence. You know?
It can be. It can be.
Yeah.
Unless it's isolative. So I have a patient today I'm working on helping to differentiate being comfortable alone and then isolating. And so she's like, you know, I'm really comfortable not going out, not being social. I said, of course you would be. It keeps you isolated, which is what you're looking for. That's right. Right. That's correct. And that being said, solitude can be wonderful and helpful. So we have to learn, is solitude really what I'm seeking right now, or am I isolating and I'm pretending to be okay with it, or I am comfortable? Of course you're comfortable. So Yes, part of our duty is to differentiate and discern what's really healthy for us. And if socializing for most of us is healthy, but we find ourselves isolating and then giving ourselves that feedback, no, I'm comfortable, I don't have to go out tonight. We want to be clear about that. Versus those times where, like, I'm going to self-care and be alone. I'm going to spend time with my animal or in nature. That's different than habituated kind of the comfort of isolation. That's right. So we do have to practice discernment. Anybody else? Quince? Oh, yeah, Ben?
I have a quick question. So if Bill Murray were to listen to this talk, where would he share it? Because I really appreciated what you spoke about tonight.
Yeah.
You might want to revisit it sometime, and I see you obviously all recording.
Yeah, this is such a logistical man you are, man.
I think it would be cool if Bill Murray showed up.
I would too. Yeah, you want to put that on the web?
Yeah. Bill Murray has come up today.
Oh, awesome.
I'm trying to get Bill Murray to Boise at work.
Oh.
One of my employees has a family member who named their little girl Bill Murray.
Oh, that's.
Her first name is Murray. Anyway, she's named after Bill Murray.
Hail Bill Murray, I don't know. I do record these talks, and I have a whole archive of them. I'm waiting for someone with web skills to build our website so I can put them up there. I don't have time, interest, or skill set to do that. So the Sangha does have a website, just coming soon. That's what it says. So I do have these recorded every week, every time we record these. So,
okay, well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
As always, it's timely.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could keep going on this talk, but just the big pieces, your past is projected ahead of you, and it's a mirage, and you think it's real, your body thinks it's real. You have to go through that discomfort of letting your body know it's okay, you're safe. And stop projecting that stuff forward. Be conscious and aware of what you're doing. Quince, you had a question or comment? It's a good one.
I was thinking, like, past failures, how they play into, like, your willingness to move forward or step out of, like, that habitual place.
What's a past failure? I don't understand,
like,
that.
Mm-hmm. Fail at that, how that can be one of the mountains that, like,
your perceived failure?
Yeah.
Or what's the projected that you perceived failing, or that you're, what is it? Because what is failing to begin with? And these are obstacles we leverage. How can I do better next time? Like Paulette, not winning is not a failure. It's actually open ground for all these new leaders to come forward. So where other people see a loss, people who are conscious see actual opportunity. So be careful of how you define failure. But if something is in your way where you're not able to do something you're setting out to, and you're labeling that failing, I would wonder why you're labeling it that way. But if that does happen, what's in your way? Yeah, it's a mirage. All of this stuff is a mirage. That's what I'm going toward. That's actually failing. That's the failing piece, is believing that. Not doing something you set out to, but the thought that comes after, I can't, I shouldn't, I'm not deserving, I'm not good enough. That's the problem in this circumstance, not meeting a goal or not doing the way we want it to, is the belief that comes after that we buy into. Does that make sense? So don't believe yourselves, really. We limit ourselves more than you can ever imagine by believing in those very thoughts. And then we project it onto the failure if it's failure's fault. There's nothing wrong with not doing what you set out to. You try again and again and again. The issue is the mindset that comes after that you believe. Okay. We're going to wrap up. Is this okay? Helpful? Janelle's teaching next week. Please come visit her. We are not having Thanksgiving. I didn't know if the next Thursday after that is Thanksgiving. So we will meet again in December. It goes so fast already. So please come to Janelle's class next week and we'll meet back in December. Please spread the word. December will be a good month for us to practice as the holidays come and disrupt everybody's lives. Totally true, right? Okay, y'all take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
That says the Jewish Buddhist.
I do.